W5BSA repeater. PL-123.
Hey, Bruce.
Good evening, folks. QSD, this is Marty, WV5Y. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSatNet. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1657, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, March the 31st, 2026. Which in UTC time is Wednesday, April the 1st, 2026 at 0100. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control, and this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. Okay, thanks to Joe, W5BSA. We're on the 145.19 repeater in West Houston, and also the 443.325 repeater in Katy. They both have a PL tone of 123.0, and then there's links to the 146.7 repeater downtown and its networked repeater, and the AMSAT DMR TA group 98006. YSF Fusion is 11689. The All-Star node is 572580 when those connections are working. And then there's Echolink, and that's over at Star AMSAT Star. And we're going to be having some possible changes here coming to the Houston AMSAT net. But at this point, I will now take any check-ins.
Okay, Delta 5, Juliet Romeo Delta, WD5, Jared E. Carl, Jersey Village. Good evening, Marty.
Good evening, Carl. You got a good signal this evening. WD5JRD up there in Jersey Village. Do we got anybody else out there? will try to come back here about halfway through the net and see if we get any more check-ins, see if we can pick up Hubbard. But we do have some changes that are going to be, look like, are coming to the Houston AMSAT net. Looks like, unfortunately, we may have to transition over, Carl, to EchoLink on the internet here for a few weeks, because actually we are moving into a different house. We sold our house and moving into a different one, not too far away, but it looks like that probably we the antennas and radios will be down for a while, and Bruce will be picking up the net for a few weeks there, and looks like he's going to, since he has troubles getting into the net, is going to be changing over to EchoLink, and just having probably the net primarily on EchoLink and through the digital modes.
D5JRD, roger that.
I know, it's kind of a shock there, but hopefully, you know, we'll get situated before too long and get things back to normal here, but Bruce, I'm sure, will be doing a fine job over on EchoLink, so just got to install that application on your phone or on a computer, and so then take it from there, but you should still be able to listen to the net, and I think Bruce will be taking check-ins probably from EchoLink.
What frequency on EchoLink?
The conference, it's STAR, AMSAT, STAR. And it's all capital letters, so there's a little star, and then capital A, capital M, capital S, capital A, capital T, and then star. And that's the talk group there over on EchoLink. Okay, well, we're going to start here with usual announcement there from the South Texas Loon Launch Team, and that they do have their monthly meeting on the second Wednesday of the month, and that's at 4:30 p.m. here at a local restaurant. And then they have a meeting on the internet, and that's on Zoom, thanks to Walter. That's over at k5wh.net/Zoom. So we appreciate Walter doing that at 8 p.m. Central Time here. And so we do also have a little bit of an update from action going on. Looks like the folks over in the Beaumont area launched the balloon last Saturday. Okay, this balloon, the whisper call sign is W5RIN/4. On APRS, it's showing up as W5RIN-4, and it looks like it got to about 30 and then about 43,000 feet there on Sunday. So we're going to keep checking that out here occasionally and see where that thing has gotten off to. All right, let's see. Okay, we're going to switch gears over here to the AMSAT News Service bulletins, weekly bulletins. All right, looks like this week's editor is Mitch Ahrensdorf, AD0HJ, and this is News Service Bulletin number 88. And the AMSAT News Service bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports on activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating to analog and digital amateur radio satellites. Now, the news feed over on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. And you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AMSAT News Service bulletins via the ANS list. To join the list, you go to mailman.amsat.org/Pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. All right, and we want to tell everybody, thanks to Bruce, KK5GO. Tonight's URLs are up and available on amsatnet.com. So we appreciate Bruce posting those and making those available. And let's see, AMSAT announces a full lineup of events and activities that's going to happen during Hamvention 2026. The 2026 Dayton Hamvention will be held Friday through Sunday, March 15th through the 17th, 2026, at the Greene County Fairgrounds in Xenia, Ohio. AMSAT will once again have a strong presence throughout the event, including booth activities, social gatherings, and the annual AMSAT Forum.
BL-123.
And concurrently, the 17th annual Tapper/AMSAT banquet will be held Friday, May the 15th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, or 18:30 EDT. And that's at the Kohler Presidential Banquet Center, 4548 Presidential Way in Kettering, Ohio, 45429, located only approximately 20 minutes from the Greene County Fairgrounds. This dinner is a highlight of the TAPR, the Tucson Amateur Packet Radio Group, and AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. Activities are abundant there during Hamvention, and the banquet speaker will be announced at a later date. Okay, the bad news, tickets are $75 each, may be purchased through the AMSAT store. The deadline to purchase banquet tickets is Monday, May the 11th at 1700 Eastern Daylight Time or 2100 UTC. Tickets must be purchased in advance and will not be sold at the AMSAT booth or at the door. There will be no tickets available for pickup at the AMSAT booth. Tickets purchased online will be maintained on a list with check-in at the door at the banquet center. Seating is limited to the number of meals reserved with the Kohler caterers based on ticket sales by the deadline. So, sounds like they're getting a number, and they're not making any extra dinners after that. So, can't blame them. The annual AMSAT Dinner at Tickets gathering will take place the Thursday, May the 14th, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and that's at the Tickets Pub and Eatery, 7 West Main Street in Fairborn, Ohio, and that's 45324, and the telephone number is 937-878-9022. This informal event features no program or speaker, offering an opportunity for conversation and camaraderie. All are welcome, regardless of participation in booth setup or operations. Food may be ordered from the menu, and drinks, including beer, wine, sodas, and iced tea, are available at the bar, and no reservations are required. Also, AMSAT is seeking volunteers to assist at the AMSAT booth, and it's going to be located in Building 1, booths 1007 through 1010, and 1107 through 1110. Volunteers are encouraged to contribute as much time as they are able, whether for a few hours or the entire weekend. In 2025, approximately 20 for AMSAT's activities and engagement with attendees. Those interested in volunteering or requesting additional information may contact Phil Smith, W1EME, AMSAT Hamvention Team Leader, via email at W1EME@astrocom.net. Volunteer participation plays an important role in supporting AMSAT's presence and outreach within the amateur radio community. The AMSAT Forum will be held Saturday, May the 16th, from 1:50 p.m. to 3:10 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and that will be in Forum Room Number 2. All right, we appreciate that update, and they say additional details, including the banquet speaker announcement, will be provided as they become available. And we want to thank Paul Stotzer, NHHM, Executive Vice President, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT Net. It looks like we're just at the quarter past the hour here, so we're going to take a quick standby, and we're going to take a look and see who we've got checking into the net. Okay. Of course, we got Carl, and then let's see. We got Charlie, K5ENG. He's over there in West Houston. We have Dale, WB0AKO. He's over there in Moorhead, Minnesota, and he does the backup archiving of the audio for the website. So a little bit of a backup there, and we appreciate that. We have had to use it a couple times. And we want to say thanks to Vern, WA0RCR. He's out there in Wentzville, Missouri, and he transmits our net on 1.860 megahertz, full carrier AM, and that's at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. Okay, then we've got Akai, N6ZZO, and he's out there in McKinleyville, California, and he's one of our podcast listeners who calls and checks in during the week, so we appreciate that. And let's see, from the Internet Relay Chat System, we've got Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, and we want to say hi to Rachy as well, and then we've got Brian, KG4WIJ, Renee, NZ9T, and Bob, K8WX. Okay, from Echo Link, looks like we got some pretty good check-ins here. We got Tom, KD4WOV. Good evening. Welcome to Houston AMSAT Net. All right, we want to say hello to Andrew, KC5LWY. He's down there in Galveston, Texas. So good evening, Andrew. And since I know you will still be getting the net there from Bruce for a couple weeks there for a little while we're moving, but so I'm glad you're hooked up here also on Echolink. Hello to Thomas, KI5JCM, and also Steve, KA5YFC. We got y'all checked into the net. All right, we also want to say hello to Mitch, AD0HJ, and this week's editor, and he's up there in Jackson, Minnesota, and he also does a AmSat net that takes place on DMR and digital, and that's on Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time. So we appreciate Mitch putting this on DMR, and of course that's on the AmSat DMR talk group of 98006. Or YSF Fusion 11689. All right, we got Bruce, KK5DO, logged in here this evening, and I know he's going to have a little bit of a scheduling conflict for possibly doing the Nets, and because they do their board meeting over the, I guess, the internet and or well, via communications, at about the same time on Tuesday nights that we do the net. So that's once or twice a month, so I'm sure he'll figure that out. We have Dave, WB7DRU. Good evening, Dave. He's up there in Howard Lake, Minnesota. And Dave has been checking in with us since we had the landline link up all the way out there to Minnesota, to Minneapolis. So that was many decades ago. And good evening to Santos, I think another first-time check-in, that's KI5KGT, and welcome aboard, and then we got Indoff, N6UTC, out there in Long Beach, California. Good evening, Indoff.
TL-123.
Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSatNet. AmSat CubeSat Sim Lite is available again for purchase through the AmSat store. The AmSat CubeSat Sim Lite, a low-cost, fully assembled satellite simulator, is once again available for purchase through the AmSat store. The device is designed to help users learn about satellite communications by transmitting simulated telemetry signals that can be received with common amateur radio equipment. Operating on the 70-centimeter amateur band at 434.900 MHz, the CubeSat Sim Lite allows users to receive and decode signals using a wide range of radios and software-defined radio setups. Digital telemetry and images can be decoded using software such as FoxTelem, APRS decoders, or SSTV applications. Once powered, the unit immediately begins transmitting simulated telemetry in 7 different modes, including FunCube and crossband repeater mode. CubeSat Sim Lite comes fully assembled and includes a Raspberry Pi Zero 2W with preloaded micro SD card, SMA antennas, USB sound card, a Pi camera, and the USB power cable and power supply. The unit includes a push button and LED indicators for control and status. Users can also connect the CubeSat Sim Lite to a network via the built-in Wi-Fi capability of the Raspberry Pi, allowing for configuration changes, mode selection, and further customization. The CubeSat Sim Lite is priced at $150, including shipping to U.S. addresses. All right, what a deal. A Additional information, including documentation and operating details, is available through the CubeSat Sim Wiki and the README resources. Okay, if you'd like more information or to go ahead and jump in and purchase a CubeSat Sim Lite, you can just go visit www.amsat.org/product/CubeSat-Sim-Lite-Complete. Okay, and if you're undecided on if you should do it or not, well, you can find additional information over at github.com/AlanBJohnston/CubeSatSim/Wiki/CubeSatSim-Lite, and also at CubeSatSim.org/download/CubeSatSim-Lite-Readme.pdf. And we'll thank Alan Johnston, KU2Y, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AmSatNet. And, of course, we want to thank Bruce, KK5DO, for making those URLs available. So, of course, rather than trying to type them in for me reading them, which nobody does anymore, I know, well, you can just go over to AmSatNet.com and click on that link there on the front page. All right, this is Marty WV5Y and the Houston AmSatNet. There's new ground station software that streamlines satellite tracking and decoding. A new open source software project called Ground Station is gaining attention among amateur satellite operators as a unified platform for tracking, receiving, and decoding satellite signals. The software combines multiple functions typically handled by separate tools into a single system, offering a more streamlined approach to satellite operations.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
Tracking programs, SDR control software, recording tools, and decoding utilities are often used together, sometimes requiring manual setup for each pass. Ground Station aims to simplify this process by automating the workflow from pass prediction through signal reception and decoding. At its core, the software provides real-time satellite tracking using orbital data along with automatic updates of satellite elements. It supports a variety of software-defined radios, allowing users to monitor and record signals from multiple satellites. The system also includes automated antenna rotator control correction, helping keep signals centered during a pass. The platform is capable of scheduling and executing satellite observations automatically, reducing the need for operator intervention. During a pass, it can record IQ, as in like flex radio, or audio data, and process common digital modes, including telemetry formats used by many amateur satellites. This is useful for operators interested in telemetry collection, CubeSat monitoring, and general satellite experimentation. In addition to amateur radio satellites, the software integrates with tools such as SatDump to decode weather satellite transmissions, including NOAA, APT, and other imaging formats. This expands its usefulness beyond traditional amateur satellites to include weather satellite reception and other downlink services commonly monitored by the amateur community. Ground Station is an early stage, actively developed project available on GitHub, and that's over at github.com/FGOUDELIS/ground-station. Users can learn more about the software and access installation instructions there. As development continues, it offers a path toward more fully integrated ground stations, lowering the barrier to entry for satellite reception while providing experienced operators with a flexible new tool to explore. Okay, we want to thank RTL-SDR.com, Estradios Gudolis, and Jacob Seaman for that information. All right, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. Coming still in 2026, we're looking forward to that SDR Gen 2 appearing. It's going to be a versatile GNU radio-based transverter/transceiver. It's going to have 144 megahertz through 6 gigahertz continuous coverage. Direct VHF, UHF, 900 megahertz, LS, and C-band operations. Okay, it's going to include up conversion to 5 and dime capability, so it's going to cover 5 and 10 gigahertz. All modes being CW, single sideband, FTA, narrowband, FM, SSTV, ATV, all kinds of modes. And the minimum downlink data rate is going to be 1 Mbps. It's built to fly on the Fox Plus and the Golf missions. So that comes from Ascent, the Advanced Satellite Communication and Exploration of New Technology Group, and AmSat Engineers, keeping amateur radio in space.
DL-123.
Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSat Net. Right at the bottom of the hour, so let's go ahead and take a quick standby and see if we have any more check-ins. Any other check-ins to the Houston AmSat Net, come now. Okay, Kraken RF announces Discovery Drive AL/EL rotator for satellite operations. Kraken RF has announced its Discovery Drive, a motorized azimuth elevation antenna rotator, now in a crowdfunding campaign on Crowd Supply. As of late March, the project has raised more than $117,000 towards its $314,550 goal, reaching approximately 37% of its funding goal with several weeks remaining in the campaign. Discovery Drive is designed as a turnkey solution for satellite tracking using directional antennas such as Dishes and Yagi's. The unit arrives fully assembled and weatherproof, eliminating the need for mechanical assembly or custom controller integration. Setup consists of mounting the rotator to a mast or tripod, applying 12-volt power, connecting via Wi-Fi or USB, and aligning the system to True North. The rotator is intended to support a range of satellite operations, including polar orbiting weather satellites such as Meteor-M2 and METOP, as well as CubeSat and amateur radio satellite tracking. Kraken RF also highlights additional experimental applications, including hydrogen line radio using compatible dish systems and software such as Stellarium. A recent video review from the Save It for Parts, and that's over at www.youtube.com/@SaveItForParts, the YouTube channel. It demonstrates a prototype unit in operation, including setup with a Discovery dish and reception of multiple weather satellites. The video also shows use with a handheld Yagi antenna, with future testing of amateur radio satellites anticipated. The review is available over at www.youtube.com/watch?V=A7FIVWAXUXE. Discovery Drive integrates with commonly used satellite tracking software through a ROTCTL compatible network interface, allowing automatic control from applications such as SatDump, GPredict, and LookForSat. It also supports USB serial control using the EasyCom2 protocol via Hamlib. A browser-based web interface provides direct manual control and system configuration. According to published specifications, the unit provides approximately plus and minus 1.5 degrees of pointing accuracy with an azimuth range of plus and minus 360 degrees and elevation range from 0 to 90 degrees. The system delivers up to 108 pounds per inch or 12.25 newtons per meter of torque, supporting antennas up to approximately 11 pounds or 5 kilograms. During the campaign, Discovery Drive is priced at $699, with a planned increase to at least $799 following the funding period. Kraken RF estimates a manufacturing timeline of approximately 2 months, followed by 1 to 2 months for fulfillment and delivery to backers. You can find additional information, and that's over at www.crowdsupply.com/KrakenRF/discovery-drive. And we'll thank RTL-SDR.com, Kraken RF, and Save It for Parts for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. Okay, as we all anxiously await Artemis II action, it's supposed to happen tomorrow. Artemis II is also to deploy international CubeSats into high Earth orbit. When Artemis II lifts off on NASA's Space Launch System, hopefully tomorrow, 4 international CubeSats will be carried into space inside the Orion stage adapter. The satellites will be deployed into high Earth orbit approximately 5 hours after launch, following separation from the upper stage and the Orion spacecraft. The CubeSats will ride within a ring-shaped adapter structure that connects NASA's Orion spacecraft to the SLS Interim Cryogenic Propulsion Stage. After Orion separates and establishes a safe distance, an onboard avionics unit inside the adapter will control deployment, releasing each CubeSat at 1 minute intervals. This system ensures the satellites are deployed safely and without interference as the stage continues on its trajectory. Although Artemis II's primary mission or objective is to send four astronauts on a crewed lunar flyby, these CubeSats will carry out independent scientific and technology demonstration missions. By flying as secondary payloads, these satellites provide additional research opportunities without affecting the main objectives of the mission. Participating space agencies include the German Aerospace Center, the Korea Aerospace Administration, the Saudi Space Agency, and Argentina's National Commission on Space Activities. The four CubeSats are named Tacheles, T-A-C-H-E-L-E-S, from Germany, K-RadCube from South Korea, SpaceWare CubeSat-1 from Saudi Arabia, and Atenea from Argentina. Each satellite is designed to carry out a unique mission. Germany's Tacheles will study the effects of the space environment on electrical components, helping inform future deep space systems. Other payloads will focus on radiation measurements, space weather monitoring, and validation of new technologies in a high Earth orbit environment. NASA officials note the CubeSats offer a relatively low-cost method for testing new technologies, although there are small challenges for long-duration missions. The Artemis II CubeSat program highlights the growing role of international cooperation under the Artemis Accords while expanding access to space and enabling new scientific investigations beyond Earth orbit. And we want to say thanks to NASA for that information.
DL-123.
This is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AMSAT Net. And the 2025 coins are here. You can help support the Golf T projects and the Fox Plus projects. Annual membership starts at only $120. You can join the AMSAT President's Club today to help keep amateur radio in space and add to your collection of the President's Club coins. And the URL is right over at www.amsat.org/join-the-amsat-presidents-club. Okay, looks like we do have no additions or deletions this week to the AMSAT TLE distribution. Two-line elements, or TLEs, often referred to as Keplerian elements, or KEPs in the amateur community, are the inputs to the STP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. So, i.e., this is the file you download once a week. It updates your satellite tracking program on your computer, and it keeps all those pesky little satellites crossing over at the right time so that when you get on, you can actually make contacts with people. Weekly updates are completely adequate for most amateur satellites, and TLE bulletin files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day. Okay, new bulletin files will be posted immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites. You can find more information, and that's over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. And we want to thank Joe Fitzgerald, KM1P, AMSAT Orbital Elements Manager, for letting us know that there is nothing happening this week. All right. This is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. We're going to remind you of those URLs. For our net here, thanks to Bruce, KK5DO, we have www.amsatnet.com. So if you'd like to get an award or a certificate for making satellite contacts, even your first satellite contact, well, there's information on how you can do that over on the website. And that's thanks to Bruce. Of course, he is the awards guy, as well as being a board of director member for AMSAT. And there is tons of good information for satellite operators over at AMSAT.org. If you want to find out the status of the satellites, which ones are operating, which ones are not, the frequencies they operate on, their uplink frequencies and downlink frequencies, and the beacon frequencies, well, all that stuff is right over at AMSAT.org. You can find out information about this year's symposium, where it's going to be when they figure that out. And there's even the store, and you can buy all kinds of great stuff, including squared satellite antennas, and you get a little bit of deal that they have worked out with M-Squared. And also, part of the purchase price goes towards keeping satellites in space. All right, looks like we're down to Harris News. Amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts aboard the International Space Station. And the downlink frequency on which to listen in on all their action, it's on 145.800 megahertz worldwide. Okay, this is where we get to really mess up all the foreign names. We've got Vauban, École et Lycée Français de Luxembourg in Luxembourg City, Luxembourg, as a contact, direct via LX26LV. The ISS call sign is scheduled to be OR4ISS, actually was scheduled, and the crew member that was scheduled was Sophie Adenot, KJ5LTN. The AS mentor was ON6TI. The contact was successful on Wednesday, 3/25/2026, at 1547.34 UTC. Okay, we've got the Amherst State University in Bengovskinik, Russia. Their contact is still, the station is to be determined, but the ISS call sign is going to be RS0ISS, and the crew member was Andrei Fedyev. The AS mentor, RV3DR, and the contact, Thursday, 3/26/2026, at 0850 UTC. Okay, then we had MOBU, UFA, Republic of Bashkortostan, Russia, and they had a contact with RS0ISS and scheduled crew member Sergei Kudzvetchov, and the AS mentor was RV3DR, and the contact was Thursday, 3/26/2026, at 1330 UTC. Then we have the Immanuel Kant Baltic Federal University in Kaliningrad, Russia. And the ISS call sign was RS0ISS. The crew member was Sergei Mikhaev. And the mentor was RV3DR. And the contact was successful on Friday, 3/27. 2026 at 1550 UTC. All right, they got a few that happened, and then they got quite a few here still coming up. So it looks like Aris is jumping back into operations in a big way. Okay, we've got the Aznakovsky District, Republic of Tajikistan, Russia. The ISS call sign will be RS0ISS and crew member Andrei Fediev. The Aris mentor is RV3DR and the contact Monday, 3/30/2026 at 11:55 UTC. Okay, and let's see, this one actually has already happened too. The Simon Langston Grammar School for Boys, the Langston, Canterbury, United Kingdom. They had a contact direct via GB4SLS with ISS call sign NA1SS and Jack Hathaway, KJ5NIV. The Aris mentor was M0XTB. And the contact was 3/30/2026, Monday, 13/28/38 UTC. And there was a live stream over at live.aris.org and HamTV at live.aris.org/HamTV. Okay, Instituto Comprensivo Gabriel de Anonimzio in Manciano Chieti, Italy, had a contact via IQ6LN, and Instituto Comprensivo Mahadevas Kalamchand Gandhi in Pontedera, Italy, had a telebridge via IQ6LN. ISS call sign scheduled to be OR4ISS. Crew member Sophie Adonat, KJ5LTN. The ISS mentor IK0WGF.
BL123.
Okay, this contact is a go for Wednesday, 4/01/2026, 11:55 UTC, and there's a live stream over at youtube.com/watch?V=RUTVNVA2NBO, and that's for Lanciano, and then for Pontedera, we've got youtube.com/live/ KRETBDTEAFA. Of course, those links are at ampsatnet.com. Okay, then the last one, we've got the Walnut Grove Elementary School in Suwanee, Georgia. They have a contact directly at KR4HPC. With NA1SS, and crew member is Chris Williams, KJ5GEW. The Aris mentor is K4RGK. The contact is 4/2/2026 on Thursday at 15:40:55 UTC. Okay, you can watch for a live stream at live.aris.org. Many times a school makes a last-minute decision to do a live stream, or they may run into a last-minute glitch requiring a change of their URL. But those folks at Aris may not get the URL in time for publication, so you can always check out live.aris.org to see if a school is live streaming. always, if there's an EVA, a docking or an undocking, the ARIS radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol. ARIS has announced that SSTV Series 31 is being planned for April 10th through the 14th, 2026. And since they're still having issues with the packet system, that's usually on 145.825, well, they're going to be doing this stuff over on 437.55 megahertz, plus or minus Doppler shift. Transmissions are expected to use the Robot 36 mode with approximately 10 watts of transmit power, operating on a schedule of 36 seconds on and 2 minutes off. The SSTV Series 31 images are expected to include tributes to Cosmonautics Day, the 100th anniversary of liquid-fueled rockets, the inaugural space shuttle launch, and SuitSat. Additional details and confirmation of the event schedule are expected as planning continues. The crossband repeater on the International Space Station remains configured in the Columbus module. It's on 145.990 MHz up with a PO tone of 67, and then you listen on the downlink on 437.800 MHz. If a crew member decides to pick up the mic and turn the volume up, you can hear them on the air, so just keep listening. You never know when the activity might occur, and you might get to talk to one of the astronauts. Okay, the Kenwood D710GA in the Vesta service module, the call sign is currently set for RS0ISS. Please note, we're still in the process of troubleshooting and testing this radio. Ham TV in the Columbus module is configured for digital scheduled amateur television operations, and that's on 2395.00 megahertz, or just below 2.4 gigahertz. I say note, all times are approximate. It's recommended you do your own orbital prediction or start listening about 10 minutes before the listed time if you want to listen to one of these stations, because we don't know exactly where you are. So the latest information on the operation mode for the ISS is over at www.aris.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html. And the latest list of frequencies in use on ISS, that's over at www.aris.org/contact-v-iss.html. And we want to thank Charlie Safana, AJ9N, one of the ARIS operation team mentors, for that information. Okay, AMSAT ambassadors provide presentations, demonstrate communicating to amateur satellites, and host information tables at club meetings, AMFest, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. And AMSAT ambassador Clint Bradford, K6LCS, says, think a 75-minute presentation on working the easy satellites would be appropriate for your club or event? Let me know by emailing me. And that's that to Clint at k6lcsclint@gmail.com or calling Clint at 909-999-7287. Clint has never given the exact same show twice. Each of his 150-plus presentations so far is customized and tailored to his audiences. Okay, we do have a couple of scheduled events coming up. The Tucson Area Spring Ham Fest, April 11th, 2026. It's the Radio Society of Tucson, Cavalry Tucson Church, and that's 8711 East Speedway in Tucson, Arizona, 85710. And the URL is k7rst.club. And you should see N1UW there. Then there's the Southeastern VHF Society Conference, April 17th through the 19th, 2026, at the Holiday Inn, Macon North, 3953 River Place Drive in Macon, Georgia, 31201. And the URL is svhfs.org/wp/2026-2. And you should see W4FCL there, man in the booth, as one of the AMSAT ambassadors. So for more information, you can go to www.amsat.org ambassador. And we appreciate this from Bo Lowry, W4FCL, the director of the AMSAT Ambassador Program. The AMSAT removed before flight key tags are still available, and yes, they are the real thing. The lovely red with white embroidered lettering and logo. Your $20 donation goes to help fly a Fox Plus satellite, and it also does include first class postage, but it's only for those in the United States. You can order your removed before flight key tag today at www.amsat.org/product/amsat-remove-before-flight-keychain. Okay, well, we look forward to seeing if we don't get an April 1st surprise and Artemis 2 does launch tomorrow. We all have our fingers crossed. So we'll be keeping an eye out for that. So everybody stay safe out there. Let's see. You can join AMSAT today by going to launch.amsat.org. In addition to regular membership, AMSAT offers membership to societies, which is a recognized club, group, or organization. Students enrolled in at least half-time status are eligible for free membership to the age of 25. And memberships are available for annual and lifetime terms. You can contact info@amsat.org for additional membership information. 7-3, and remember to help keep amateur radio in space. And that comes from this week's great ANS editor, and that's Mitch Ehrenstorf, 80HJ. That's MAHRENSTORFF@amsat.org.
BL-123.
Okay, another quick final reminder. There's going to be changes possibly coming to the AMSAT net here in a couple of weeks. Bruce is probably going to be taking the reins there and shifting over to Echolink, and that's the Echolink conference group of STAR, AMSAT, STAR. So while I move and get set back up, so we appreciate Bruce handling that, and we look forward to catching everybody next week. So stay safe out there. Keep playing with those radios, making lots of satellite contacts from Handy, W5ACM, Bruce, KK5DO out there in Roman Forest, and myself, Marty, WV5Y in Northwest Houston. We say 7-3 for this week from the Houston AMSAT Net.